what happens to a country when one of its most symbolic leaders is gone. What is Kenya without Baba? What does Kenya even look like without that man? Will we finally move past politics of tribe and name? Hey, wagwan, what's up? Welcome to another amazing episode of the Unspoken Podcast. How are you feeling? I'm feeling good because I'm not. And I feel like you can already tell from the tone of my voice. I'm not my usual jovial self because, man, it's been a few heavy days. The past days have been so heavy. My heart is heavy, honestly. I never thought, never in a million years would I have thought that Baba's death will hit me so hard. Hey, I didn't think it would hit me so hard. Actually, I'm just from crying, honestly. A few minutes ago before I started recording this episode, really hit like, yo, Baba is never coming back. He's gone just like that. And just thinking about it, coming to terms with it, and what it means for our country, what it means for our political scene, our history, our culture. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. It just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Anyway, welcome to this episode. This is episode 144 and I am your host, Awina Witty. So today's conversation sits at a heavy intersection of history, colonialism, culture, and tribalism. Yeah, because if there's something that Baba's death and passing has shed light on, is that we are as tribal as our parents, even if not worse. That is what it has shown. Like, bruh, we are as tribal as our parents, especially our generation. In fact, we are worse. We are worse than our parents, because if you even read the comment section on how people were shaming other people for just mourning Baba, that was crazy. And the tribal wars between the Kikuyu and the Luo on the comment section. Bruh, this is bad. And especially for a generation like us, the Gen Z, who we are so quick to judge others, we are so quick to call other people out on their mistakes. It's our time to call ourselves out, man, because we are as tribal as our parents, if not worse. So the passing of our political enigma, Baba, Tinga, Joey, Agwambo, Chunping, the people's president, Jacom, name it, all those nicknames he was given, and he earned all those names. The passing of Baba marks the end of an era. It marks the end of an era. It's also a mirror reflecting who we've been as a country, who we are as a country, and who we are still becoming. Because one thing is clear, we're still tribal, and that is something he really fought against. So if you want to honor his legacy, his death must mean something. His death must mean something. So let's just start at the beginning. Before we talk tribalism, we have to talk colonialism, because I feel that's the root cause. That's where it all started. Colonization. That's where it all started. Because Kenya's story, like so many African nations, was rewritten by foreign hands. And I feel like that is also another problem. We should be able to write our own history. We should be able to write our own story, because most Kenyan history has been written by foreigners. So when the British came, they didn't just take land. They redrew maps, they redefined tribes, designed power systems that favored some and excluded others. They created what I like to call a hierarchy of belonging. So certain communities were given access to education, jobs, and infrastructures. Others were pushed to the margins. those inequalities didn't just vanish at independence. They just changed uniforms. That's why we still are fighting for we're still fighting tribalism until now. From colonial courts to local suits, we're still, and that's the root cause of our modern tribalism, a colonial inheritance we've never fully unlearned. And that is the first thing we really need to do. We have to unlearn. For us to deal with this tribalism problem, we have to unlearn colonial inheritance. We have to fully uncolonize our minds, because as I feel like that's where the British succeeded. And I was even saying the other day how, when I was seeing the comment section of how people are being so tribalistic, I was saying that Kenya actually is a colonial success story. There's no denying that Kenya is a colonial success story. Where the British succeeded in colonizing our minds. So the first, for us to just end tribalism, first of all, we need to unlearn colonizing. We need to unlearn colonial inheritance. We need to uncolonize our minds, because the Brits, they succeeded in colonizing our minds. So, because in Kenya, yadi, for you to be considered smart, sharp, that is measured by how eloquent you can speak your English. And in that case, English is not even our language, bro. It's a borrowed language. So that's where it all starts. It starts from the mind. Like, you're considered smart if you can speak good English, which is not even our language. And then you're considered cool if you can't speak your mother tongue. That's crazy. Hata historia ya kienyeji, ati unaitwa wewe ni kienyeji because wewe ni mshamba. Wewe ni sasa unaitwa kienyeji. Now our culture, who we are, we call it kienyeji. We call it ushamba. We are shaming vienyejis. And literally, that's who we are. That's who we are. Because we're trying so much to adapt the Western culture. We're trying so much to be like our colonialists. So it starts from the mind. We need to fully unlearn colonization. We need to fully unlearn the colonial inheritance. We need to uncolonize our minds. Have you ever gone to a restaurant, especially in the coastal regions, and how you're treated as a black person? Bruh. Yani, the whites, we worship the white people so much. The waiters will serve the white people with so much haste. They'll give them the best service. And you're it's your country. You're the citizen of that country, and you don't even get that same treatment. And this is someone from, I don't know which part of the world, and they're in our country. These are the people who colonized us, and we're treating our colonizers better than our own citizens. That's colonization. And it starts from the mind. It starts from our mind. I was even saying that if I had power, if I was in power for just one day, if I was a politician, and if I was a president for a day, I would rename everything that was, the first thing I'll do as a president, I would rename everything that was named by the white men. I will disembolish, is that even a word? Like, disorganize everything that they did. And just rename everything that was named by then. We've been colonized to the point that we think traveling abroad, studying abroad, makes you better than someone who studied in Kenya, in our own country. We're not proud of what we have. And I feel I was ahead of my time, by the way, because I talked about this topic on Podfest. In my Podfest show, there was a segment about how I talked about colonization and how it has affected us, where to the point that we've glorified suffering as Africans because we are colonized. We don't know something good even if we see it, even if it's staring us straight in the eyes, because we are used to suffering so much until we don't know something good even if it's staring us dead in the eye. Colonization, it starts from the head, from the mind. So we need to uncolonize our minds. We need to stop being proud of not knowing our mother tongue, because we are moving to an era of an awakening. There's been a shift. Baba is gone. Baba is gone. And if we don't uncolonize our minds, if we don't move past this tribalism problem, who's gonna fight for us? Because as much as long as we're gonna be tribal, there's never gonna be unity among us. And how can we fight for ourselves if you're not united? Now Baba is gone, the man who used to unite us, the man who used to fight for our country, the man who used to put the government in check. Now who's gonna put the government in check if not us? And how can we do that if we're still tribalistic, if we're still tribal, if we're still not united? How? So Baba's death is a wake-up call. Let's be real. In Kenya, culture and tribe are complicated. They give us pride. They shape our language, our food, our traditions. But politically, they can also divide us. And it has divided us for a long time. Like even in 2007, the biggest tribal wars led to post-election violence. Something we have never recovered from till date. The word tribalism is often thrown around like an insult, but it's really about how identity gets weaponized. Because being tribal, being proud of your culture and your tribe, that's not bad. Speaking your mother tongue, that's top tier. That's where it's supposed to be. We should be proud of where we come from. We should embrace our culture. But how identity gets weaponized, how we weaponize our cultures, now that's where the problem starts. That's where the problem begins. Election stands into ethnic headcounts, jobs and resources, follow loyalty lines. And we should really check ourselves out, because we are 2 years away, less than 2 years away from the elections come 2027. And this is the best time. If you have not registered as a voter, bro, hey, this is the time to do that, because the political shift is insane. It's gonna be insane. It's wild, because our diversity should be our strength, but when it gets politicized, it becomes a trap. It becomes a trap. So, again, all this is a wake-up call. Baba is no more. I don't know who's going to be able to fill his shoes, because even that's the conversation right now. Who's going to fight for us? Who's going to keep the government on check now that Baba is gone? Who's going to be the face of opposition? Because Raila Odinga lived inside that tension of the tribal trap. I feel like that's another reason some people feel like they hated the man, because he carried both national and the tribal weight. He became a face of opposition, fighting for democracy, fighting for freedom of speech, multipartism, the constitution. But he was also seen through his tribe. That's where other people saw him, just like another Luo leader. That's where we also let him down. That's where we let Baba down. And that's the paradox of Kenyan politics. You can't escape where you come from, even when you're trying to unite everyone else. Baba couldn't escape that. He was always seen as the voice of the Luo community. He was always categorized as the leader of the Luo community. That's the box we put him in. That's the box we put Baba in. And it shouldn't be that way. We should have just seen him as a leader, fighting for democracy, as a patriot, because he was a patriot, as a patriot fighting for our country. So we need to check ourselves as a country. We really, really need to do so. Because Raila's story is intertwined with Kenya's post-colonial history. His father, Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, was Kenya's first vice president. And for you to know that Baba was a true leader, as a true man of the people, that's why they used to call him Chunping, which means the heart of the world. He was the heart of the people. He was a man of the people. Look at this. Look at Baba has been given a state funeral, and he was not even a president. That just shows how deep his leadership was. He was a man of the people. He lived in people's hearts. And that is not, that's not something all leaders achieve, not even presidents. Baba was a leader who lived in people's hearts. Have you seen how people have filled the stadium just going to give him a send-off? And he was not even the president. What if he was the president? Even if you listen to my previous episode, I was talking about how it's about the journey, about the lives you touch, not about the position you hold. It's about the process, the journey, how you live your life and the lives that you touch along the way. That's where it's at. That's going to be Baba's legacy, because he used to say true leadership is service and not power. And justice must be pursued. That's one thing he used to always say. Justice must be pursued even when the path is lonely. And I kind of feel bad also that we didn't show him how much we loved him, especially Gen Z. His sister the other day yesterday was saying that he died knowing that Gen Z's hate him. That is so sad, because of the handshake he did back in 22 with Ruto when he lost. So we felt like he betrayed us. And of course, I can't also like feel like blame the Gen Z's. Of course, I can't blame our nation, because once you lose the election and then you see someone has shaken hands with the opposition, you don't know what to think. You just know that that person has gone against you because now they're in the government. So we don't know actually why he did it. But what I'm actually learning is that he used to compromise his position. He was even ready to pay the political price for his country. He was a real patriot. The main reason for his handshakes was to maintain peace, according to history. By the way, guys, also another thing, wake up call, I've learned that we need to actually read our history, guys. Don't go on social media and comment if you don't know anything. People, once watu walikuwa nasema ati Baba didn't give us anything. Baba, ati we didn't gain anything from Baba. Brah, go and read your history books and see what the man did. Of course, he had his shortcomings, but whether you hate the man, you love the man, he's gonna go down as a statesman who fought for his country. He's gonna go down in history books as a hero, a patriot. A person who represented true leadership, who was able to serve people beyond himself, a person who was able to put his country first. He was given a state funeral, bro. Not even his dad, Jaramogi Oginga Odinga, Kenya's first vice president, was given a state funeral. Baba was given. That he was detained, exiled, and yet every time he came back, he pushed for we didn't deserve Baba. It's just hitting me. You don't know how much something means, how much someone means to you until you lose them. Actually, that what they say is true. We didn't deserve that man. Let him rest, honestly. We didn't deserve him as a country. I feel like we let him down so many times. Five times. But from the numbers I'm seeing, even from people attending his state funeral, can you tell me that man never won the presidency? Let's just be honest. Because those numbers are crazy. Those numbers are insane. Those numbers are crazy. So Baba's death is a wake-up call. Because when he passed away, the country stood still. In fact, the country has still stood still. Have you seen how everything has been postponed? That's how you know that was an enigma. Everything, all the events that were supposed to be this weekend, everything that was supposed to happen this week, the country has literally stood still. Everything has been postponed because we are mourning a national hero, a patriot. Even those people who didn't support him, they have felt the pain of his death. Because love him or hate him, he represented something bigger than politics. He represented possibility. He represented, like, there was always a way. He represented audacity. He was the true definition of being shamelessly audacious. That was Baba. So his death forces us to ask hard questions. What happens to a country when one of its most symbolic leaders is gone? What is Kenya without Baba? What does Kenya even look like without that man? Will we finally move past politics of tribe and name? Because we have already figured the fact that we are as tribal as our parents, even if not worse. So will we finally move past politics of tribe and name, or will we cling tighter to them, afraid of change? Because change is coming. We are moving to an era of an awakening. There's been a shift. Things will never be the same. Things will never be the same. Leadership is going to be earned. Politics is about to be a hard. It's going to be hard, even a harder game. Politics is going to be hard. Leadership is going to be earned. There's been a shift. And now we are a woke generation. We know, we call out people, we don't care who they are. If you are wrong, you are wrong. So we're moving to an era of an awakening. So Baba's death marks the end of an era. In his passing, there's a challenge to the next generation, to us. Can we build a Kenya where leadership isn't tied to lineage or ethnicity? Where the dreams of freedom, justice, and equality aren't just political slogans, but lived realities? Because if you zoom out, if you just think about it well, you'll see a cycle. Colonialism planted division. That's where it all started. Being colonized, colonialism planted division, culture preserved identity, and then tribalism politicized it. And now we are living in the aftermath, trying to make sense of it all. Maybe it's time to ask, what if we stopped seeing tribe as a political identity and start seeing it as a cultural one? Something to celebrate, not weaponize. That's where it's at. We should be able to celebrate our own culture, embrace our own culture. And I feel like something also as shown how tribal we are is because of how the other cultures are seeing how us lose. We actually mourn our mourning. People are finding it weird of how we mourn as we feel death. And that's how mourning should be. Mourning shouldn't be bougie. There's no shame in mourning. I will mourn the way I want, especially as Luos, our community, Luo, Luo, the Western people. We feel the death. We feel it. We mourn for days. And I feel like that's why even Baba said that he wanted to be buried within 72 hours, because he knew our culture. Baba wouldn't have been buried so soon. Never. Never in our culture. That has never happened. If he hadn't said that in his will, if that wasn't his wish, Baba would have stayed for like even 2 weeks. People are just mourning him. He knew how that would bring a lot of tribal wars. He knew. So he said he wanted to be buried in within 72 hours because he knew our culture of how we feel the mourning. That's what happens. We should embrace our culture. We should celebrate each other's culture, but not weaponize it. What if we taught our kids that history isn't about just about independence? I don't know, Momo. It's about understanding why we are the way we are. Because one step to ending tribalism, we have to understand who we are, where we come from, and why we are the way we are. That's where it's at. So, you know, we have to go back to our roots, because healing starts with honesty. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to constantly accept. Even me, it hit me when I was reading those comments on TikTok. That's it hit me. Yeah, guys, we are tribal. We are tribal. So we need to accept that we are tribal. So we don't have to hide at it. We always accuse everything. Because as Gen Z, we like us accusing millennials of everything. That millennials are the ones who are tribal. Hey, even us Gen Zs, we are very tribal. We have to be honest with ourselves. Because for us to heal from it, we have to just first be honest. We have to face it. We have to be honest and we have to face it. and work on it. Because Raila Odinga's story isn't perfect, but neither is Kenya's. Neither is Kenya's story perfect. Neither is any of us. He was stubborn. The guy, Baba was a legend, man. That guy is gonna go down in history books. The guy swore himself in as the people's president when there was a sitting president. Who does that? Who does that? He swore himself in as the people's president. He made the elections be marked null and void for the first time in history. He made the elections be marked null and void. Never has it ever happened. He was stubborn, he was bold, and he was controversial, but also deeply committed to a dream. He had one goal: a better Kenya. No matter who's gonna be the president, he always wanted a better Kenya. And I feel like that's why he compromised. Even if you read, that's what I'm saying, you need to read history. If you watch a lot of his documentaries, his story, there's something he always says. There's one thing he always say, that he was always ready to pay the political price. It doesn't matter who. He said that he was ready to shake the hands of his enemies as much as, and pay even the political price if it meant a better Kenya. He put himself in front of the country. He put the country in front, before himself, actually. He put the country before himself. He carried both the wounds of colonialism, being detained for all those years, and the weight of tribal loyalty. And through that struggle, he mirrored the country itself, flawed, hopeful, and still becoming. But maybe that is true legacy. Not victory, but persistence. Resilience. That's his true legacy. Persistence, resilience, not power, but the belief that speaking the truth, even when it's unpopular, it matters. He was willing to put his ambition on the side and pay the political price for his country. So that's his legacy. That's his legacy. So, as remember Raila Amolo Odinga, Joey, Tinga, Agwambo, Chuny, Piny, the People's President, Jakong, Enigma, Baba. Maybe this is the moment to look inward, to ask ourselves, what history are we continuing? Are we still trapped in colonial scripts, repeating the same divisions, or are we rewriting them? Because history isn't just what's written in books. It's in our daily choices. It's in how we live our daily life, how we see one another, how we vote, how we love, how we lead. This episode isn't just about a man who died. It's about a legend, a true statesman, a patriot, a hero. It's about someone, a man who sacrificed his ambition for his country. It's about a man who put his country before himself, before his needs. It's about a man who was never scared to speak, who was never scared to stand on something. One thing I loved about Baba, he stood on something. When the electoral results were announced and he was like, no, I refuse the results, he stood on it. No way, election isha, we are past this. Just move on. He stood on it and even went to court. He didn't care. He was like, this is my truth and I'm standing on it. That's one thing I admire about him. He stood about something. He stood for something. He stood for something. And that's what we really need to learn from him also. We have to stand for something as a generation. We have to stand for something. We have to be known for something. I hate people who are neutral. You don't have a side. In fact, you're the worst person. I'd rather even know my enemy. I'd rather know that this guy, we are on different sides, even when it's politically or in any other way, than know that you don't even stand on any other side. Silence is never neutral. Silence actually is never neutral. So I hate people who are neutral. Don't be neutral. Stand for something. That's what you should learn from Baba. Even if no one is standing with you, stand for something. Stand for something. Baba stood for something. His vision has shaped destinies, and his spirit will live forever. It will live among us. I feel like he has left his peace. He has left a piece of him in each of us. Does that make sense? I feel like he has left a piece of him in each of us, because that's why his death is so painful, personal, and yet we didn't even know him personally. Actually, I met him once. I've met Baba once. Back in, when was it? 2021. In Miranda High School, when I was taking my cousin, who was reporting for Form 1. I think Baba was also like, he had a relative there. Actually, he also studied in Miranda, so that's why he was there. I met the man once. So thinking that I met the man once and his death is this painful, it's not about even me meeting him. It's about the life he lived, the legacy, what he stood for. So yeah, it's time for us to decide who we want to be as a generation. We need to decide what are we standing on and who do we want to be. Let's end this tribalism shit, man. Let's end this tribal wars, gender wars. It's time for us to decide who we want to be and what we want our country to be. It's because no one is coming to save us, literally. No one is coming to save you. Now, this is when it hits hard. It hits hard. No one's coming to save us. The only man who could save us is gone. The only man who could save us is gone. And he's never coming back. So it's time for us to decide who we want to be. And fight for our country. Stand up for our country. Anyway, that's what I came to say today. I'm even getting emotional just thinking about it. So yeah, hope you've learned something from this episode. Today is 19th, actually, the last day, the last 72 hours of Baba since he died, and he's being laid to rest today. Today we're saying the final goodbye. No. Death doesn't really hit you. It doesn't really hit you if you've lost someone until his casket is lowered onto the grave. And then, you know, now it hits you. Man, he's never coming back. So today we're laying a hero to rest, a patriot who will never be forgotten, who will forever live in our hearts, who will go down in history books in centuries as a man who stood for something, as a man who fought for his country. And I hope we all learn something from the life he lived till he took his last breath. Anyway, chukua kura, guys. Mchukue kura. Hey, sahi ni mi hata sitaki story ya mtu wenyana kura. Register as a voter. Read our history. Let's read our history. Let's know who we are, where we come from, and why we are the way we are. Okay? See you on the next episode. Adios.